Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me for Straight Talk with Dr. Sharmi Pratt. I am your host, Dr. Sharmi Pratt, and in the studio with me today, I have Ms. Dawn White. Hello, Dawn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And so listen, everyone, Dawn and I are going to be talking about her journey, her story, and her victory. We're going to be talking about the dynamics of domestic violence, right? We know that there are many out there, there are men and women who have experienced and may be still experiencing the dynamics of domestic violence. And we want to talk about it from an overcomer standpoint. And so I'm bringing Dawn on so she can actually give us a little bit about her journey through domestic violence and also her victory and how she has come out and now positioned herself for success and greatness, right? I promise you guys, you do not want to miss this episode of Domestic Violence with Dawn White. And so, Dawn, as we already said what we'll be talking about, I want you to take a moment, though, to tell the people who you are and, you know, just where you're from and anything else you want to share before we jump in.
I'm Dawn White. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I am 59 years old. I don't look my age, but I feel my age. And I'm a self-employed as a caretaker / companion. And I am also going to be starting school after the first of the year to get my degree to be a certified peer counselor / domestic violence counselor.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And so, Ms. Dawn, we want to talk about your journey, right? We want to talk about domestic violence from the eyes of Dawn White. And so won't you tell us a little bit about your story?
Well, I was married for 25 years to a mentally and emotionally abusive man who cheated on me our entire relationship. I finally walked away from that. I was single for about a year, and I met a man who I thought was everything I had ever looked for and wanted. What I didn't know at the time was that he was a high-functioning addict into addiction. And we started a relationship, and I ended up becoming an addict to love an addict, and went through not only emotional, mental, but physical abuse as well.
Wow.
And that lasted about 5 to 6 years, and I walked away 4 years ago in September.
Wow. I love how you gave us a very valuable key and a point right here. You said that you became an addict to love an addict.
Yes.
I don't think just that right there was powerful. You became something that you were not just so you can love something that you thought you wanted. And that's how so many of us do in life. We become things that we're not just to get something that we believe that we want for the moment. Now, as you take us down this road concerning your journey with domestic violence, what is it that, you know, you heard people say, why do you stay in certain situations like that? What was going through your head? And you get all of these people to say all types of things, and you don't understand a thing until you're actually in it. I'm a firm believer of that, right? You can't
absolutely
understand.
Absolutely.
And so I want you to begin to talk to us from your eyes. What was that like for you?
Well, what I can honestly say is 10 years ago, I would have been a firm believer that, oh, if you're in an abusive relationship, why do you stay? It wasn't until I myself was in one that I didn't understand why I stayed. I stayed because I had been isolated from everything and everyone that I had ever known. He had complete control over me, so much control that when I talked to people, I did not look at them. I had to look at a floor because they slowly start to take control of you and your life, and they put you where they want you. And there's so much control that you don't know how to get out. Like, you realize you're in a situation before you even realize you're in it, if that kind of makes sense.
Yes, it does. It does make a lot of sense. And so,
I mean, like, the first time that I was abused physically by him, it was very shocking to me. I had never had that happen before. And it wasn't just a hit or a slap. I'm talking, this was a 3-hour fight that I literally was fighting for my life. And the reason I stayed is because he really made me feel that he didn't mean any of that, that he was truly sorry and that he was going to change. And this went on for several years of where I truly believed that his apology was sincere and that he truly was going to change.
Wow. You said 3 hours. You were in this for 3 hours the very first time. And
yes.
Tell us what was going through your head the whole time.
The whole time, basically what was going through my head was fighting for survival. Just trying to stay alive. I was being choked out during this time. I had, I was beat with belt. I had a vacuum broken over my back. I've been through a lot of physical abuse. I've been hit with a car twice by my ex, just a lot of abuse. I've been held against my will. And to be honest, now that I look back, I don't know why I stayed. I really believed that at the time that he could change. And I think that's our mistake, is we believe that person can change. And it took me walking away to realize that the only person we can change is ourselves.
And so, Dawn, when you kind of look back over your journey, as you said, looking back and at the situation, but nevertheless, when you were inside of the situation in your mind, you believe that you were able to change the behavior of that individual. And so it was something on the inside of you that felt like, I can change him. Do you think that came from the fact that he would always say to you after, you know, he would go into those bitter rages, he would say to you how sorry he was and that he's willing to change or he didn't mean it? What made you believe that you were able to change him?
Well, I believe it was all the apologies, and he really seemed sincere at the time. But a lot of it, to be honest with you, was I didn't have love for myself, and I was a very insecure person. And if you're in an abusive relationship, you know as well as I do that your partner makes you believe and feel that you're nothing without them. And so that was the mindset at the time, is that I wouldn't have been anyone or anything without him. And that's a fear that you take on. That's not even a really a valid fear, but it's a fear still that you take on. And I think that was a lot of it, is the fear that I would be alone, unwanted, and unloved.
Wow. Okay. So just the fear of you being told that, or even believing that you couldn't do much without him, because I'm quite sure that was probably said a lot of times. Now, let me ask you this. Now, growing up, I know you said this was the first time that you had ever experienced anything to this magnitude, is when you got into this relationship. But what I want to ask you is, when you were growing up, did you have moments where you may have experienced some type of traumatic or trauma in your life that may have put you in a place of believing that you were less than, or that you can only go so far in life, or attract certain type of people or anything like that as you were growing up as a child?
I did have a traumatic event. It's really hard to talk about. I haven't talked about it with too many people, but I will tell you that I had shared it with my abuser, and I believe that he took that information and used it to control and manipulate and deceive and abuse me. I was, when I was 15 years old, I was gang raped. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a really good response from my family through what I went through. Mm-hmm. My mother actually blamed me and said that it was my fault for what had happened. And I think a lot of it was because back in that time, people didn't really understand it. But it was a very traumatic event. And I had doubts about my self-worth. I had a lot of insecurities. It was something that I carried with me for many, many years and never dealt with.
Wow. Yeah. And so I can see, you know, especially if you shared that particular thing with your abuser, and then you even, you know, sharing the fact that your family didn't even, you know, believe you, or even they blamed you for it, that he would definitely be able to use something like that against you to make him feel like he's better or superior to those that you once loved, those that you loved or whatever. And so as we're talking about the concepts of your journey, your story, and your victory, are you able to share with us just keys or things that you begin to do in order to get out the situation?
Well, for me, it was, things were getting really intense in the relationship. We were homeless, addicted, obviously, fighting all the time. Things were really bad. And I had went to the hospital because I had woken up and I couldn't stay awake, and had gotten admitted and was told at that time that I had severe bradycardia, which is an extremely low heart rate. But the addiction and the abuse had damaged my heart. And so I kind of knew at that point that if I stayed in this relationship, I would either, one, die from his hands or die from my addiction. And I had expressed to him that I wanted to leave this lifestyle behind and try to get sober and work on this relationship. And he was not interested in that. So I literally just walked away from him and the drug. And I've been clean 4 years in September.
Wow. Wow. And so when you broke it off, or, you know, made the decision to do that, was did he just willingly allow you out the relationship? Or, you know, do you mind talking to us about your breakaway? How was that journey to literally break away and free yourself from that?
Well, it was a rough journey because he stalked me for a long time. He would try to get me to come back. I went back and forth for almost 2 years after the initial walk away because he kept trying to convince me that he was turning his life around. I would go back. He had not changed at all. He would end up abusing me. I would end up running out again. A couple of weeks might go by, but this went off and on for almost 2 years, where he, and it's not so much that I was a weak person, it's because he had controlled my thoughts and my mind and the ways I thought for so long that it was hard to break away. But it was almost 2 years of going back and forth. And the last time that I went, I was actually held against my will at a lake for over 4 hours, and really honestly thought that was going to be the end of my life. And when I was finally able to get out of that situation, it's like I knew in my heart that was it. I couldn't go back because I wouldn't live. I wouldn't be alive to see my children or grandchildren or my family.
Wow. I mean, you said he literally had held you hostage at a lake. But I like how you share with us, Dawn, the fact that, you know, it's not that you were a weak person. It's just that he had so much mind control over you that it was
Yes.
hard for you to break that particular way of thinking, that he was for you. And you understood really that he really is not for my good, but because I have been so seduced with being controlled by my abuser than the emotional tie, the mental tie was so strong. It was like seemed to be even stronger than your actual will. And yes, it was reminds me of a passage in the Bible when Paul says, those things I will to do, I do not do. But those things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I find myself continually doing, right? But
absolutely,
we thank God that he provided us a way of escape. And, you know, and he understood the fact that, you know, that's why I love God so much, because even when other people give up on us, he never yes. give up on us. Like, people
never.
Will give up on you in your like worst times, like when you need them the most to try to just believe in you, even though you're doing all sorts of things that don't make natural sense. But you do have someone who's constantly rooting for you to come out of those hard places, those rough places and those bad places in your life. And it's like he provided you a way of escape, even though someone else seemed to be in control of what seemed like they were in control of your destiny. Because yes. you said, I thought that this is just where I was finna die at. I thought I was finna die right here. He held me hostage at a lake. And I yes. thought that this was the moment of all moments, that this was going to be the end of my life. But nevertheless, you said after 4 hours, he released you. Just after four yes. hours, he just released you, right?
Yes.
And so that.
But I had spent that whole 4 hours praying oh, out wow. loud to God to please, please get me out of here. Please, Lord. I just kept praying. Mm-hmm. And that is what has strengthened me more than anything is my faith.
Mm.
And my church family, they have been amazing and just been supportive as Christian brothers and sisters should be when people are struggling. They continue to let me know they're here for me to talk to or whatever, but it's my faith that has brought me as far as I am today.
Wow. This is so good. And so as we're wrapping this up, Ms. Dawn, what are some techniques or some strategies that you can tell those that will be listening in to kind of take a hold to if they find themselves in situations like this, or even if they are actually in a situation that they don't know how to release themselves from?
Well, first, I'd like to say that your hopeless situation is not hopeless. There's always hope. That there are ways to get out, and you have to first realize that you are worthy, that you deserve love, and that you have to realize the person that's abusing you, you cannot change. The only person you can change is yourself. And so I would recommend, if you're in this situation, reach out, ask for help. It's okay. Don't be ashamed, because it's not really your shame and guilt that you're carrying. It's their shame and guilt, but you're allowing their shame and guilt to control your life. And life is so much more beautiful without all that control and abuse in your life. I mean, you can have a beautiful life.
Wow. That is so powerful. Don't allow people to really control things that you are positioned to control yourself, right? And so
yes.
I love it. And so anyway, Dawn, I want you, as we're ending out, to tell the people, how can they get in touch with you if they need to?
If someone would like to get in touch with me, they can reach me on Facebook at Dawn Elizabeth. I'm under Dawn Elizabeth. Or I do have an Instagram now. It's at Dawn Elizabeth 69. Or they can email me at DawnElizabeth0104@gmail.com.
Sounds good. And so, everyone, thank you for actually joining us today. And Dawn, thank you for your story, your journey, your story, and your victory. And I love everything that you have basically just said and declared. And even your ending was like, you know, I it's my faith. My faith helped me to overcome the fact that there is something greater out there for me besides what I'm going through. And listen, everyone, that's what we want to leave with you. We want you to understand that no matter where you find yourself at in life, there is hope. And like Dawn said, don't lose hope in your process. Hope is expectation. And we don't want you to lose the expectation that there is a way out of anything that you're going through in life. It does not matter how horrific or how hard it is. Dawn said she stood 4 hours crying out to God, and the God that we serve heard her cry, and he delivered her from the hands of the enemy. And he will do the same for you. Trust us. He surely will. And so anyway, Dawn, thank you so much for coming on and being brave enough to even share about your journey with domestic violence. And listen, we will have you on again. And everyone else, thank you so much for joining us for Straight Talk with Dr. Sharmi Pratt. We'll see you next time.